I want you to take your Bibles, please, and I'm going to give you a simple message tonight. And Isaiah, please. Isaiah chapter number 34. Isaiah chapter number 34. My intention is, when we come to church, to help Christians grow, to edify the body of Christ, to be moved onto higher ground. And that was my intention this morning, and that's my intention tonight. And I pray that God would help us to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. I do covet your prayers. I really do. As a pastor and as I preach, I need Him more than I need breath. I need Him more than I need blood running through my body. And it's a war to be a pastor. It's a war to be a shepherd of the sheep. And you don't know it until you've done it. Everybody told me it was different pastoring. They always told me that. And until I started pastoring, I figured out they were right. It's a great, great joy. Amen. What a calling. The calling of a pastor and a preacher is the highest calling, higher than anything else, higher than the president of the United States of America. But I'm telling you, with that comes a heavy burden. It's called the care of all the churches. And I want you to know that it comes, I'd hope to think that it comes from a heart of love. And I want to see your greatest in the days to come as a Christian and for this church. And I just want to help you tonight. Simple thoughts tonight. But I think it's needed. I do. I think we fail in this area. Many times we can get everything straightened back out about what I'm going to fix and to preach on. Isaiah 34 and verse 16. If you're there, say amen. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. What a text. Who would figure? Let's say that together. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. And he hath cast the lot for them, and his hand hath divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it forever. From generation to generation shall they dwell therein. Verse 16, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. I'm going to preach tonight on Bible reading. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Simple enough for you? I think so. Bobby Robertson and Lester Roloff were on a ride. They were driving together, and Bobby Robertson was the passenger. Lester Roloff was driving the car, and they were on a long, long trip, and Brother Bobby Robertson said, Brother Lester Roloff said to Bobby Robertson, can you read me the Bible, please? He said, I've got to get my 10 chapters in the day, and you've got me on this long adventure. I'm not going to get my 10 chapters in. Will you read me the Bible? I've got to get my 10 chapters in. Brother Bobby Robertson said that he's read 10 chapters every day of his life since he was a little boy preacher. 10 chapters every day. And you might think of that. That's a lot of Bible reading. Really, it's not. Most of us spend more time in leisure and looking at things on our phone or watching something on television longer than it would take to read 10 chapters in a day. And we think, oh, that's some great feat. Really, it's not. It wouldn't take you an hour to read 10 chapters. Take you much less than that. Probably would take you about 30 minutes to read 10 chapters. But as you read the Word of God, you're going to grow. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This Bible right here is not dead. This Bible is alive. This is alive. This is your life. The words that I speak unto you, Jesus said, they are a spirit and they are life. If you're not reading the Bible, you're just making it in your own strength. You're just in the flesh. You're just pushing. You're just grinding. And a lot of people are pushing and grinding. I remember when I asked the previous pastor that used to pastor here, when I first came here as a young preacher boy, I asked him, I said, what's the key to revival? And he said this to me, and I'll never forget it. He said, if Christians would just start praying and reading their Bibles every day, we'd have revival. I don't draw back from that statement one bit. I believe that's a true statement, don't you? Just read your Bible and pray every day. I believe our prayer closet, where we get our Bibles and we read, that's the secret to having revival. Now, we've got to appreciate the Word of God as the Word of God. This book ain't a newspaper. It's not a magazine. This is the Word of God. Do you agree with that? It's the Word of God. This book does not contain the Word of God. If you hear that, you know he's off, okay, whoever said that. The Bible, they'll say, the Bible contains the Word of God. No, sir. The Bible is the Word of God, forever settled in heaven. We appreciate the Word of God. Let's turn over to Psalm 119 and we'll stay there the rest of the evening. Psalm 119 is precious because it's all about the Word of God, isn't it? And we learn a lot about the Scriptures from this great psalm. It's broken up in the Hebrew alphabet and it's precious. We learn about the Bible and learn to appreciate the Bible as the Word of God. You got to appreciate it. When you come to it, you appreciate it as the Word of God. It's like nothing else, because in Psalm 119 and verse 89, turn there, the Bible says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." This book right here is not timeless necessarily, we can say that, but it is eternal. This book right here, I believe every Christian will stand before in heaven. We'll give an account before the Word, Jesus Christ. This book is timeless. It's eternal. It's not like a book of the month, book of the year, book of the decade. This is the book of eternity. They can't take away this book right here. You realize God will always have His Word. You can't burn it out. You can't stomp it out. You can't flood it out. I don't care what you want to say. God's Word will stand forever. He said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away," because it's eternal. That's the value of the Word of God. Look at this over there in Psalm 119 and 152. Another scripture. "Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever." It's eternal. It's not like anything else. Look at 160, the page over if you got a Scofield. "Thy word is true from the beginning." That means from the beginning of the world, thy word was true, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever from the beginning to the end. Why? Because this word is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This book right here is Jesus Christ. If you're to know Jesus, you're going to have to know this book right here. If you're going to have to fall in love with Jesus, you'll have to fall in love with this book right here, because this is Jesus Christ. Other books will come and go, but the Bible will stand forever. But the Word of God endureth forever. 1 Peter 1 and verse 25. This book is indestructible because it's eternal. Let me tell you something else about this book. It's truth. It's truth. Look at Psalm 142. "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth." Look at 151. "Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth." You know, nobody else, you can say a preacher or a pastor will tell you the truth. You can say your wife, now she'll tell me the truth, you know. Laugh a little bit, you know. My spouse will tell me the truth. You say if I've got a best friend, they'll tell me the truth. They won't be soft about it. They'll be honest with me. Well, reality is this is the only thing that'll tell you the truth, because this is truth. Have you ever gotten into this book before and nobody else would tell you but this did? It'll search the intents of your heart, won't it? Because this is truth. When you come up face to face with the Bible, it sure does reveal things to you, because it's truth. "Thy word is truth. Sanctify them by thy truth." John 17:17. You know, in this world, we've lost an appreciation for truth. People don't want to hear the truth. People want to reject the truth. But I say, without any stammering whatsoever, that the Bible is true. Therefore, it is exactly what we need in a dishonest world. We've got to go to the truth, and the truth is the Word of God. It's true. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration means it's God-breathed. God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That's the Bible. Now, God used human penmen. God's the author of the Bible. But He allowed and used human penmen to put it down as they were moved of the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter 1:22. This Bible is true because God of truth cannot be wrong. He cannot speak error. Do you realize almost 4,000 times in the Word of God, we have these phrases. The Word of the Lord, the Word of God, the Lord said, or thus saith the Lord. He's saying this is the truth. This is God's Word. And the Bible is not simply God breathed into the Scripture. That's an incorrect statement. It's God breathed the Scriptures out. God didn't breathe into the Scriptures. God breathed the Scriptures out. That's what inspiration is. This is God's breath right here. He breathed it out. This is the life of God, just like what Brother Jeff was talking about earlier. Breathed into us the breath of life. That's what God's Word is. You want the life of God and the breath of God? Right here. And if you're not getting it, you don't have any life. You're just forcing through life. Because it's a truthful book. It's forever settled in heaven. It's a book that should be treasured as well. I wonder if we treasure it. I just wonder if we do. Look at verse 72. We're in Psalm still. We're not going nowhere else. The law of my mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. He's saying the Bible's better to me than gold and silver, ruby and diamonds, bonds and stocks. 103. Turn to 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. 127. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, among fine gold. What if somebody told you there's gold in your backyard? There's gold there. You'd get an excavator, wouldn't you? You'd go in the back and you'd dig and claw till you found it, wouldn't you? And if you didn't have no money for the excavator, you'd rent the money, you'd borrow the money to rent the excavator to get to the gold, wouldn't you? You'd do all you can. If you didn't find it at the first try, you'd rent the thing for another day until you found it, right? Try to get that gold, get that money. My dear friend David said, I value the Word of God above much fine gold. That's the value of the Word of God to the Christian that's healthy. Saints and heroes of ours, martyrs, have pillowed their head on the Word of God as they walked through the chilly waters of death. They were persecuted, not only persecuted, but even gave their life's blood for the truths of this Bible right here. This Bible is valuable. The early church loved the Word of God. They preached the Word of God. They studied the Word of God. They searched the Scriptures. They fellowshipped around the Word of God. They sang the Word of God. They memorized the Word of God. This is our foundation. It's a treasured book. We must appreciate the Bible as the Word of God. And number two, we must read of the Word of God as it is life to our inner man. We've got to read the Word of God as it is life to the inner man. This is where we get our strength and our life and our power is from the Word of God. I've quoted this verse several times and I don't draw back from it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. A pastor came over to visit a family one time and he was visiting with them and they were fixing to have a little time and he didn't bring his Bible with them. And so he said to the little boy, he said, boy, go get the book that your parents read all the time. And he went in the other room and brought the Sears and Roebuck catalog out. Well, I wonder what the Lord knows, doesn't he? Our children need to see us read the Word of God. They need to see it every day. And if we're not reading it, we're running off nothing. I think I said here recently, you know, we think we've got to have 3 meals in a day. And, you know, you might need 3 meals in a day. I do. At least that's what I like. I might go with 2, but I like 3, okay? And we think that's a necessity. We've got to have those meals. We've got to have a little protein in the morning to get us going, some eggs and bacon maybe. And then at lunchtime we need something to get us to that evening meal that Mama makes, amen? I just don't know why we think that way and think we can go just a little snack of the Word of God. Our daily bread ain't going to cut it in the morning. These devotional books right here, they're here. But I'll burn them if you think that's what your food is. That ain't going to cut it. You've got to read chapters. You've got to take some slices of the bread of life and you've got to eat them and you've got to digest it with some of the milk of the Word of God and even some of the meat of the Word of God. And you've got to read it because it's, you know deep down in your soul, if you don't have it, you're gonna shrivel up. Who in here, look at me, knows 100%, you know 100% that if you don't read the Bible, you'll be on nothing sooner or later. Look at that. We know it's true. We've experienced it. You can't go without it. And you ask yourself, what's wrong with me? It's probably because of the lack of the Word of God. We think we got to exercise. We think we got to lift weights. We think we got to run. We think we got to read this book. We think we got to do this. There's one thing that is the most needful thing Jesus said, and that is to sit at His feet. Because it's life. Now we're still in Psalm 119. Still there. Let's look at verse number 12. When you read the Bible, you can pray over it. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Pray over it. Have a mind to pray. It's not like you necessarily have a prayer meeting, but it's the spirit of it. Lord, teach me this. It doesn't matter if it's in Romans or Leviticus. Say, Lord, teach me. Show me something today. Get some. Ask God to teach you because the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Ask Him, verse number 18. Ask Him this in verse number 8. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of the law. You know what the enemy of Bible reading time is? Hurry. Hurry is the enemy of Bible reading time. If you're in a hurry, you're not praying these prayers. You're saying, phoom, on to the next thing. And you're not able to be prayerful about it. Ask God to take the scales off your eyes. Ask God to remove those tradition glasses. What you think you ought to be hearing or seeing. And just look at it just fresh. You understand what I'm talking about? Look at verse number 36. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not unto covetousness. I mean, he's saying incline my heart unto it. Let my heart be at one with the Word of God. Incline my heart to it. Our minds need to be enlightened. Verse number 73. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Exactly. I mean, get up early in the morning and have a quiet time with the Word of God and the Lord, like we talked about this morning. Give Him your first thought in the morning, and then open the Word of God up and ponder on it and pray over it and read the Bible with a pen in your hand. Not only pray over it, but ponder over it. Read the Bible with a pen in your hand. I don't mean this the wrong way. I don't want you to think about me. I don't really want you, but I want to use myself as an example. I can't study the Bible without a pen. I can't read the Bible without a pen. You understand what I'm talking about reading the Bible. I'm not studying for sermons. Just reading the Bible for myself. I can't do it without a pen. Why? Because I want to mark how God spoke to me. I want to jot something down that I can go back to and remember. I want to be reminded of that. I want to underline that or even get a little journal next to you and write down verses and write down phrases in the Word of God that speak to you. Understand? You ponder it. You're not rushing through it. Look at verse number 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto my ways. And then all the way back in 147, towards the end of this great psalm. I prevented the dawning of the morning. I cried and hoped in thy word. Listen to that. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. He says, I'm pondering on it in the morning and I'm pondering on it in the evening. Boy, it sounds like he's got it all through his whole entire day, right? He's pondering on it. Expect something. Expect for God to speak to you when you open that book up. I mean, get something from God. Don't just read the Bible. Let the Bible read you. Get in the Scriptures and expect God to speak to you. Get in where you got enough block of time to where you say, Lord, I need something for today. I'm going out into this world that needs you, those souls that need to be reached. Now I need something today. Give me something that I can take with me. Give me something that's going to sharpen me. Give me something that's going to help my understanding. You've got to have that faith that God will speak to you, and He will. Also, you got to have a plan. As you ponder the Word of God, you got to have a plan in your reading. I'm just trying to guide you in the right direction. Don't just read haphazardly. Oh, let's read here in Matthew, or let's just read here in Joshua. No, take the books of the Bible and read them chapter by chapter until you're done. and maybe read it over again. I'm not going to tell you how to read the Bible, but I mean have a plan for it. If you want to study Philippians, great. Read Philippians over and over and over again. Let it become part of who you are. And I personally read three different parts of the Bible all at one time. Right now I'm reading through the prophets. They have been great, great. Reading through the minor prophets, and I intend to read them over and over again. They're such short chapters, and they're very punchy. I love that. And then, I didn't mean like fruit punch. I mean like, you know, punchy. You know, they're strong. I mean, they hit you really hard. I'm reading the minor prophets, and then I'm always reading Psalms and Proverbs, always. I guess it's four places. I always read the Psalms and the Proverbs. Proverb for the day, and then I just don't know where I'm going to be at in the Psalms because I just love reading the Psalms. They're so personal. They help me devotionally. And then I'm always in the New Testament. And it just amazes me how God can speak to us and give us exactly what we need through this book right here. He gives us exactly what we need for the church and for the ministry, for our families and for our personal life. But you've got to ponder on it. But have something. Go through it and look back. I mean this. And look back over a month's time and say, boy, God's been good. I've been able to read all that right there and I've learned that of Him and learned that about my Christian life. And make it personal to yourself. Get something for yourself that you can carry with you. I want you to write these things down because I think they might help you. I really do. I think these things might help you that I'm fixing to talk to you about. Sometimes we've been saved so long that we need something to kind of kick us in gear, something that freshens things up or sparks things up. And sometimes a little bit more intentionality in our Bible reading will do it. Maybe when you read the Bible, you ought to ask yourself the question as you read these chapters. Here's some questions that you can ask as you read the Bible. Is there a promise that I can claim? Oh, that's a good promise. And you can put a P next to it. That's a promise. And I can claim that promise for the day. Is there a lesson to learn? And then, oh, yeah, definitely. We're going to learn some lessons. We're going to learn some things to do and some things not to do as we read, especially through the Old Testament. See all those characters. Is there a blessing to enjoy? Is there some blessing from the Lord that you can enjoy? Oh, yes. Is there a command to obey? Is there a promise to claim? Is there a lesson to learn? Is there a blessing to enjoy? And is there a command to obey? Well, we know the Bible is full of commands, right? Not just suggestions. And you write that down. And then also, is there a sin to avoid? I can't do this in my life. I see that that's wrong. And is there a new thought that God gave me? I've never thought of this before. I've never seen that in Scripture. And you write that down. And as you meditate and ponder on the Word of God and you ask yourself questions about the Scripture, then it will become part of you and you will eventually will preserve it. But you have to be intentional with Scripture memory. Who's memorized a verse this week? We don't want any hands. Probably not very many people have probably memorized verses. But you memorize the Word of God in Psalm 119 and verse number 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God. Memorizing the word of God keeps you from sin. Keeps you from sin. You memorize the Scripture. It takes a little diligence, but you preserve it and you hide it in your heart. Verse number 16, I delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. How will you not forget the word? When you put it to memory, you use that brain of yours and you put it to memory. Last of all, not only do we appreciate the Bible as the very Word of God, it's the Word of God. We read the Bible as very life to our inner man, but last of all, we've got to apply the Bible as power to our life. We apply that. That means what you read, you apply. What you read, you obey. What you get, say, Lord, I'm going to put that into practice today. That happens not only here. Everybody thinks, well, whatever the preacher preaches on and if it speaks to my heart, I'm going to apply it, I'm going to obey it, I'm going to do it. No, we need to get that in our bedrooms. We need to get that at our prayer altars. Whatever God tells us to do, let's apply the Bible as power to our life. When we look in this book right here in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17, when we look in this book right here, we look into that mirror, we are changed over and over and over again. The knowledge that we have of the Word of God is actually transformational. Changed. We have to come to the Word of God, though, knowing that we need to be changed. Many times we come to the Word of God or even come to church and think, well, they sure do need it, but I don't. And we're praying for everybody else but ourselves. But we've got to come humbly at the feet of Jesus and say, Jesus, I need something today. I need a change. I'm not what I ought to be. I tell you, As the Word of God was spoken just a while ago, I thought to myself as I sat in that chair, I need a burden for souls. I need a love for sinners like my Savior has. I'm not what I ought to be. God ever speak to you like that? We need to be different. We need to be better. I do. That's what the Word of God will help you with. When you get convicted, then you go out and you apply it in your life. And it'll be transformational. Look at verse number 45. We're still in Psalm 119. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. The liberty is the victory and the freedom to walk in the Word of God as it's read in your life. It's a source of victory, a source of growth. Verse number 32, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Run the way of thy commandments. What's that? That's obedience. Whatever thy commandments, whatever his commandments lay out for us, that's the path we're going to take. We're applying the Word of God. We stop learning and we stop taking ground for God when we stop obeying. There's a part where you say, I read the Word of God, I study the Word of God, but if we don't apply what we're reading and taking in and we don't obey it, we're going to stop right there. We're not going to be able to grow in grace. It's a source of growth, but we've got to appropriate it and apply it to our lives. After a while, you've got to figure out all this isn't for somebody else. It might be for you. Might be for you. I have to be careful about that. I'll be honest with you. I've got to be super intentional in my own life that all that I'm receiving and taking in is not for you, but it's got to be something personal for me. Sometimes as fathers, sometimes as mothers and as leaders, we think we're going to receive everything for somebody else. After a while, what about us? It's got to be personal. Applying the Word of God for our own individual life. Psalm 119 and verse number 54. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. The Bible is not only a source of victory and growth, it's a source of joy. If you need joy, you need to go to God's joy book, and that's the Bible. You get your joy back when you get in the Bible. He said their statutes have been songs in my pilgrimage. And this Bible has been a song book to our journey with Christ. Look at verse 111. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. This Bible is a source of joy for you. True joy don't come from your favorite song. True joy comes from the Bible. Now, I've got favorite songs. You want to know what mine is? You already know. But those don't give me real joy. I mean, I love I'm Not Going to Hell by the Morrisons. That's a great song. But I don't expect to get joy from the Morrisons and the Inspirations. You all do understand that. And you know good and well, I like listening to those folks sing. Amen? Right, Michael? But I ain't getting joy from that. You're fooled and you're mixed up in your brain if you think you're going to get joy from that right there. You're going to get joy from this King James Bible right here. Can I get a witness? This is where you're going to get joy. Now those things are good and they help and they keep a song in your heart and all this. But if you want real joy, you've got to get it from the book every morning. It's a source of joy. It's a source of power. Look at verse number 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Oh my. That spoke to me. My soul melteth for heaviness. You ever felt like your soul's melted? I mean, you're just... the weight and the heaviness. My soul melteth for heaviness. That's quite an expression. And then he says, strengthen thou me according to thy word. That word will strengthen you when your soul melts for heaviness. It'll give you that power that you need. You need power. You weak. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. You'll get power that you never knew you could get if you just get your nose in this Bible right here. You know what else? Turn with me to 105. It's a source of guidance. All of us need wisdom. Remember that lesson this morning? All of us need wisdom. All of us need guidance. All of us do. If you don't think you need guidance more than anybody else, right? We need wisdom. We need guidance. Sometimes I'll pray and I said, Lord, I don't know how to come in. I don't know how to go out. That's what Solomon said when he was wise. He said, I don't know how to go in. I don't know how to come out. I need wisdom. I need guidance. I don't know what to do. You ever been in a situation? I just don't know what I should do, but I want to do the right thing. Sure, we've been in situations like that more than not. Is it 105? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A lamp. You've probably heard this before, but somebody might need to hear it again or maybe never heard it before. This word of God right here is a lamp unto your feet. That's just the little light. The lamp just keeps you right here. Just keeps you right here. It's a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto my path. This word of God right here will show you the next step to take, and then it'll show you a little bit further down the path as well. And we need both of it, don't we? This verse came to my mind this week since I was held responsible to do something. I was held responsible to take care of the chickens this week. And since I was here all the time and with some other people all the time, and I got back late many nights, I had to go put up the chickens and lock up the chickens in the dark. And because I don't do it, I'm sure we've got a flashlight in the house somewhere, but I just don't know where it's at since I don't do it. And April does it, or the kids do it. I didn't know where the flashlight was. And so I'm using my little iPhone trying to get enough light to go see where the chicken's at. I'm out here. You should have seen me out there in the middle of the dark like this right here. I just had a lamp unto my feet, but I didn't have a light unto my path. You tracking? This word of God will be both to you. It'll tell you what step next to take. It'll tell you what the future holds for you. This Bible right here tells us what the future holds. If you'll read it, you'll know what the future light. And it'll tell you what you need to know a little bit further down the road as you get in. It'll give you clarity and direction. We need both of them. And if we don't have it, we're going to be looking silly like I looked. Looking around here like this. Not looking around at all. Not looking ahead of us. This Bible right here will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto my path. This Word of God's everything to you. It's everything to me. You've got all things that pertain unto life and godliness right here in this authorized King James Bible. Look at it right here. You got everything you need. You don't need me. You've got an unction from the Holy One. You've got an unction from the Holy. Now don't forsake the church, amen. God told us not to do that. But you got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You've got the Word of God that is alive, that'll help you right here. You've got everything you need right here in this book. You don't have to lean hard on me. You don't have to lean hard on somebody else. You get in the Bible, you learn the scriptures, you know God through this book right here. And seek ye out of the book and read. Look at that in Isaiah 34:16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. A lot of our problems would be fixed if we just get to reading the Bible. You know how much we'd know if we just read the Bible. Just read the Bible. You ever heard of one of those preachers before? Hey, my God, put up all your sins up here on this projection screen. What would it look like? All the things that you've done wrong this week. If we put them all up here, would you be ashamed? You ever heard a message like that before? I'm sure you've been in one of those meetings before. I guess there's nothing wrong with that. But I wonder if the Lord would like to put up here on a screen, what'd you read on Monday? What'd you read on Tuesday? What'd you read on Wednesday? What'd you read on Thursday? What'd you read on Friday? Would you be all right with everybody seeing what you'd read? Who cares? It's the Lord that knows. And we forget, you know how you forget the Lord? It's when you forget His Word. You know how you turn your face against the Lord and don't have fellowship with Him? When you forget this right here. This has nothing to do with church, does it? This has to do with seeking the Lord through the book of God and reading right here. Daily. Search the Scriptures daily, the Bible says. Talk about time real quick and I'll be done. All of us have the same amount of time. What if I told you it'd take 15 to 20 minutes a day to read through the Bible in a year? That's the truth. 15 to 20 minutes a day you read the Bible through in a year. Now, there's some people that are from Arkansas and it takes them a lot longer to read, say amen. But 15 to 20 minutes a day and you'll read through the Bible in a year. Listen to this. I just want to throw this at you because this is absolutely ridiculous. And this isn't necessarily preaching, but this is ridiculous. This is a shame. People in America spend 7 hours a day looking at a screen, their phones. That's the average screen time in America, 7 hours. Something's got to give. Something's got to give. We all have 1,440 minutes in a day. 1,440 minutes in a day. If we get 8 hours of sleep, who gets 8 hours of sleep every night? A few of us. If you got 8 hours of sleep in a day, that'd be 480 of your minutes. If you spent 9 hours at work, maybe a little time commuting to work, that's 9 hours, that's 540 minutes. If you wanted to spend 3 hours just for yourself, that'd be 180 minutes. That means that you've got, yes, 4 hours left for whatever in a day. That's if you work 9 hours a day. Amen? Sleep 8 hours. That'd be like 10 to 6 every time. That's pretty good stuff. And you get 3 hours just for whatever. You'd have 4 hours left to do whatever. I know some of us work longer. Some of us might sleep longer or sleep less. That's all different for each person. I understand that. But we'd still have 4 hours left. We need to redeem the time because the days are evil. What I just gave you all that because when you really look at your day like that right there, you're really letting the devil lie to you to tell you you don't have time to read the Bible. We do have time to read the Bible. And when you get down the road in life, young people, and the older ones too, when you get down the road in life, you'll never regret the time of investment in God's book right here. You'll never regret it. Seek ye out of the book and study. No, I didn't even talk about that tonight, did I? Just seek ye out of the book and read. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's stand together. Read it. Read it. Jesus is waiting for you. It's a relationship. He's waiting for you to read it. He's waiting for you to read it. He's wanting to speak to you. He's wanting love on you. He's wanting to give you fresh bread. Say, Brother Justin, Lord spoke to me tonight, and God knows where I'm at, but I need to make a new, fresh commitment to God about my Bible reading. It's just not what it ought to be. And I'm losing on this. I'm sinning on this. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I want to make a fresh commitment to God in my Bible reading. I want to have a Bible reading revival. A Bible reading revival. If that's you here tonight, raise your hand. There you go, brother. There you go, sister. Let's do it. I believe God will change you and help you like none before. Heavenly Father, help us now. You know my heart, my desire, and how you've helped me in this area over these last couple of weeks. And I thank you for it, Lord. I pray we'd return to reading the Bible with some vigor and some fervency and studying the Word of God and getting to know you through the Scriptures. That soul that you've spoken to tonight, I pray they'd make it right with you and they'd make a fresh commitment in their Bible reading to get something from the book every time they opened up. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. How about be the first one to come forward as she plays and say, help me in my Bible reading. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Just read. What will it be tomorrow morning? Will it be different from the other mornings? What will it be at 6 a.m., 5 a.m., 7 a.m., before anybody else wakes up? Before anybody else stirs? What will it be? Oh, give God those precious times. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. And read.